part of the Press Play Podcast Network.
Welcome to the Chase Smith Podcast, a conversation on current events and culture. We are proudly part of the Press Play Podcast Network, empowering diverse voices to launch professional engaging podcasts. This episode was presented by Water Heaters Now. If you are in Central Ohio and you have suddenly lost your hot water or feel as though your water isn't as hot as it should be, contact Water Heaters Now. You will not be disappointed with their service. And they are super relational, let me tell you, which is important to me and my family because the professionals are coming into our home. We want to make sure that they're nice and generous, and you won't find a more nice or generous company than Water Heaters Now. But don't take it from me. Hear what they have to say.
Thanks for calling, Water Heaters.
Can't do it. My shower just felt like an ice cream truck. How many days until you can replace my water heater?
Ma'am, it's 1:53 p.m.
Thanks for that. But did you hear the part about the snowstorm in my shower?
I did. And I hope you wore galoshes. Ma'am, this is Water Heaters Now, though. So if you order by 2 p.m., we're going to fix your problem the same day.
Sir, I just wrestled a freezing polar bear. Are you messing with me?
No, ma'am. I think my grandma would beat me up if I messed with you.
Okay. Am I going to pay extra for this magical speed trick?
No, ma'am, you're not. The price is going to be very fair. You know, here's the deal. We literally only do one thing. Water heaters. And we're old school. We use long-lasting heaters. No hassle, no mess, right price, real fast. And we can do all that because it's all we do.
Okay, let's do this.
River listeners, when your water heater leaves you cold, you just want it fixed now. We've installed 5,000 heaters in 5 years with 900 five-star reviews. So when the time comes, solve your water heater problem with Water Heaters Now.
Contact Water Heaters Now by going to the website www.waterheatersnow.com. That's waterheatersnow.com, where you can click the link in my show notes. Today's episode has been on the books for a couple months. I talked to my good friend Tyler Patrick, JTP, one of the Rennick Five, about all things DC comics, DC movies, DC TV shows, everything. And we'll get to that in a moment. But I have to admit, I'm recording this and I'm currently wrapping this up here at 11:30 p.m. on the first day post-quarantine. Yeah, I got COVID for a third time. It's crazy. I'm fully vaccinated. I'm boosted, but somehow my body just can't get enough of coronavirus. I'm doing fine, mostly tired, and thankfully my family have all tested negative, which I just want to spend a few moments to talk about my wife, Leslie, who we have two kids, a seven-year-old, a two-year-old. We have two dogs, and she's pregnant. And for the last 5 days, we haven't really made it public that she's pregnant. So if you're just now listening, we're expecting a baby in July. And for 5 days, I've had to listen to her just be a freaking boss and a champion and take care of everything. And it has been so incredibly difficult to not be able to help. And she is just amazing. And so she would bring me emergency and water. And she even brought me surprise ice cream one night, which was awesome. And she just did incredible. And so huge shouts to Leslie over the last 5 days or so. But I'm mostly just tired now. I think hopefully the illness is over. I have a lot of muscle soreness right now this evening. But I wanted to share a list of movies that I watched while I was quarantining in our room for the last 5 days. Because in the moment, I didn't realize how eclectic the selections were. But the more I'm removed from this five-day bedroom isolation, the more wild I feel like they become. And I tried to watch things I didn't think Leslie would be interested in. So here's this 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 list of 11 movies I watched. Offer a couple insights. I finished Lord of the Rings of Two Towers. I'd started that forever ago when Leslie was asleep on my shoulder, maybe over the in the fall or something. I finished that. Great. Return of the King. And then I watched Return of the King. And I'd seen those before. Those were just great, just fun rewatches. But then I wanted to watch some things that I hadn't seen before. So I finished The Two Towers. I watched Return of the King. Extended. You got to go extended version. Then I watched Pacific Rim. I didn't know that there were two Pacific Rims. So I was expecting this to be the John Boyega Pacific Rim. It is not. There is one Pacific Rim and then a sequel to that. So I probably won't be returning to Pacific Rim 1. I would be interested in watching Pacific Rim 2. I heard it was good. I don't even know what it's called. But John Boyega was not in this one. I was a little disappointed. Then I watched The Grand Budapest Hotel, Wes Anderson movie I'd never seen before. And that one I probably will watch again with Leslie. I feel like she would enjoy it. It's this really unique, strangely told, beautifully shot, symmetrically driven movie. It's in the Wes Anderson style. But it's kind of just like this. It's a movie about an author, about a book, about his experience in a hotel. I mean, it's kind of like layers, and I think she would enjoy it. The Grand Budapest Hotel. And then I watched The Town. I have seen The Town numerous times. It's such a good movie, The Town. Ben Affleck, Jeremy Renner, John Hamm, Blake Lively. It's kind of like a bank heist movie, but it goes into his crew. So if you like movies that have like a crew, a driver guy, bank heist, FBI, all that stuff, it's located in Boston, Charlestown in Boston. It's a ton of fun. The Town is so great. I could watch that again today. I mean, I couldn't because I'd fall asleep, but I would watch it again. And then I decided to embark on a journey that I'd never seen all the Matrix movies. I obviously saw the Matrix when it came out, because when you're in middle school, you just got to see The Matrix. People were talking about The Matrix, South Park, and Napster. And if you know, it's just what you had to do. And so I saw The Matrix again. The movie is so good. The first one just holds up so well. It is so much fun, so good, so great. And it really kind of defined a genre, an era of movies. Then I watched The Matrix Reloaded, the sequel. I'd look up which one to watch next because I have no clue. I still probably couldn't tell you unless I had this list in front of me. Watched The Matrix Reloaded, The Matrix Revolution, the third one in the series. I probably wouldn't revisit these movies. They were fun because I had nothing else to do. And I mean, they're kind of pretty long. They were fun. But it's just pale in comparison to the OG, The Matrix. And then after that, I decided to watch another one I hadn't seen before, 2001: A Space Odyssey, Stanley Kubrick, 68. And I kept trying to imagine what it was like watching this in 68, because it is such a parody of itself right now. But when you go back and watch it, I mean, there was probably nothing like it. I mean, the music is incredible. Like that whole ba 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 bum 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 bum. That's from 2001: A Space Odyssey. There's a couple other scores in there that I'm just like, that's from 2001: A Space Odyssey. It starts. It's like this whole. I had no clue what it was about. It's like this chronology of the dawn and the life of man, and kind of like how they've technologically evolved. And what they were able to do in 1968. I mean, that's pre-Star Wars. And Star Wars really kind of pulls... I saw a lot of Star Wars in this. Or really, I guess you could see a lot of 2001 in Star Wars: A New Hope. I mean, that huge ship tracking shot, that happens in 2001: A Space Odyssey. Some of like the... Even like the light speed, the sounds, very, very Star Wars-esque. It's also a very long movie. And I feel like, I bet if you watch this movie with an inebriated state, maybe you would have a different experience. I'm not sure. I couldn't tell you. But it just seemed very trippy and, very much to three different movies, actually. Four kind of really think about it, but, it was wild. And it just, it was a very long movie as well, but watch 2001: A Space Odyssey. I do not know if I'd revisit that again. I'd want to study it. I would watch it again to study it, not to enjoy it. I kind of barely enjoyed it. I don't know. It was difficult. So from there, I wanted to watch another one I hadn't seen. So I watched American Psycho after 2001: A Space Odyssey. Whew. Was not expecting this movie to be anything like it was. American Psycho with Christian Bale, John Lucas, who's the dad from Sandlot, or the stepdad from Sandlot, who's like, yeah, here's my, you use the ball or whatever. Or is it Josh Lucas? I don't even know. But yeah, that one was just super uncomfortable. It's a satire, and I don't know if I'm not smart enough to watch it, or I just like a COVID brain, and like it was very, very weird and uncomfortable. And I know not to take it at face value, because that's, you're not supposed to do that with satires. And I think I see what they're trying to say, and they did a clever job, I think, of trying to communicate that. But I did. I think I wish I would have known going into it that it was that way. I think I was trying to take it serious. It's Christian Bale. It has this kind of, you know, I don't know what it was about it, but I was expecting a horror, and it wasn't really a horror. It was like, it was just, it's really, really its own thing. American Psycho. And then I watched The Matrix Resurrection, close out the Matrix series. And those are my movies. You know, a lot of them I haven't seen before. Threw a couple in there in the middle that I knew I would like, and started out, of course, with Lord of the Rings. But, isolation's tough. And this COVID thing is no joke. So if you are feeling ill, I hope you get better. But without further ado, here's my interview with Tyler Patrick about the state of DC movies. Here with me, he's the co-host of the Krypton Report right here on the Press Play Podcast Network, your place for all things DC. But most importantly, he's one of the Rennick Five, Tyler Patrick. Tyler, what's up, bro?
What's up, Chase? Good to be back, man.
Dude, I feel like we're our own Justice League, the guys who are at Rennick. I mean, that is...
I drive by there every now and then. I just point it out to the kids. Like, kids, I used to live there with my friends from college, Uncle Devin. Chase, which you guys don't remember, but you should. I was like,
dude, the Rennick Five was, if we were our own Justice League, let's just do it now. Who are the Justice League and the Rennick Five?
Oh man, see, I feel like I'd be somebody like off kilter. Like,
no, you're Superman. Come on.
Okay, all right, I'll take it. Because I did live upstairs in the fortress.
You did,
Elijah.
You even called Elijah, it the Fortress of Salt, dude.
Elijah's not cool enough to be Batman, but he was always in the basement.
He was in the dungeon. Dude, he...
Honestly, Chase, for you, I would put you as the Flash, man.
Bro, I could be the Flash. Jeremiah's got to be Aquaman, though.
Yes, totally. Because if you know the Flash comics, he's all about... He's all about hope, man. He's hope, inspiration, fun, and just always has a good smile on his face.
Devin is the Martian Manhunter.
Straight up, dude. Straight up.
So what does that make James? James? Come on. James?
I guess he'd be like Green Lantern. He'd be like a, because he's like, he's there, he guides us, and then he disappears.
But also that, but James was always there, though. He was like, so like, everyone came and gone. I feel like James was just like always there. Anyway, the Rennick Five, there,
James
there
was
we
more
have
like
it.
Batman. James was more like Batman than anybody, just because he'd come in. Especially if you watch the Justice League animated cartoon.
James is like Wonder Dog or something. Yeah. I don't know. Dude, we were just talking about Rennick. Uh-huh. So Rennick was the place me and Ty and like three or four other guys got a house when we were a senior in college in Circleville. Did you know that before we moved there, we just talked about this at home with Leslie a couple of days ago, that the previous tenants had chicken wire over the kitchen cabinets and they had chickens in their kitchen. They had chicken kitchens. Did you know that?
I do now. Jesus.
Yes. Chicken kitchens. Previous tenants.
That house was so unique and so cool. It was like the perfect house for
I wasn't in
needs.
A room. I was in a dining room. That. We put a drawer over it. Oh, my gosh. Okay.
It was a makeshift house for everybody. It was a good time.
It was a typical college. We weren't a frat, but we did throw parties. Yeah. That were non-alcoholic, and it was essentially a frat house without being
douchebags.
Correct.
I wish like it was right before cell phones exploded, man, with the cameras. We could have like, I wish we would have documented the house and just,
I don't, you know, that thing. One morning I woke up not to my alarm, but to water dripping on my face. There was a hole in the roof. And so that's
just,
we had to
find blow dryers and just,
the house is still standing. It's in Circleville. Anyway, what a time. Well, hey, the purpose of this conversation, Ty, isn't to reminisce about Rennick. It's to talk about DC. A lot's happened. The last time we had you on the Chase with the podcast, you might be like the most recurring guest, by the way. Sweet. I just want you to know that,
that. I like
you,
that.
You might have that belt. I got to go back and look.
Hey, I remember the first time we ever podcast years and years and years and years ago when it was Dog Talk.
Dog, dude, you're one of the OGs. One of the OGs, Dog Talk. That was a podcast I started about the Browns and sports and other things, kind of like the Chase Smith podcast, but that actually reached new and noteworthy on iTunes. Like before, like this was like 2009. I had the podcast before I was married. We were engaged, and it was anyway, me and Leslie were engaged for like 6 or 7 months before we got married. But hey, lots happened, Ty. November, December. I don't remember. I have the date actually right in front of me. In November, a beloved figure of our childhood, Kevin Conroy, passed away. And immediately I was like, dude, we got to get on and talk about it. Kevin Conroy voiced Batman in the animated series. And I was like, dude, Ty, let's get together and let's record and talk about it. And like, yeah, let's do it. And then holidays happened. And then illnesses happened. And all of a sudden it's January 10th, 2023. But because that got pushed back, we have so much more to talk about, Ty. The Batman was the most streamed movie of 2022. The Batman, the most streamed movie. And there's been a whole shakeup in DC, so I want to talk about it all. But before
let's do it.
Dude, Kevin Conroy, when he passed, it was a shock. I didn't know he was sick. I'm not super connected to a lot of the DC rumor mill, so I wasn't sure. And it, like, sometimes celebrity deaths don't, like, really make me pause and think. I mean, I'm remorseful, but I mean, Norm Macdonald was like, that impacted me. Robin Williams, when he passed, like, obviously,
I was gonna say Robin
where
Williams.
I was when that happened. Bob Saget, Gilbert Godfrey. Just this year, it seems like a lot of comedians, but this one, Kevin Conroy wasn't a comedian. He was a voice actor who voiced a show very important to our childhood. The Batman the animated series, like, what a terrible loss.
I'm gonna start this kind of story back in September, because in September we went down to Cincinnati Comic Expo. We did a panel down there, and there was a big reunion of Batman the animated series. Richard Mull had to cancel. He was supposed to be there.
Who's Richard?
And right, but he did Two-Face. Okay. On Batman animated series. So the people that were there was the Riddler, Robin, Catwoman, Poison Ivy, and was supposed to be Kevin Conroy. And right before, about a week before, he had to cancel.
This is in September.
I was like, oh man, this was in September. And I was like, ah, crap, you know, like, because I was excited I was going to be there. Well, let's go forward. We were going to then do a panel here in Columbus for GalaxyCon, and a week before Kevin's passing, my buddy Brian and I were talking about who are our number like one and two people to meet at GalaxyCon, and we were talking about Kevin Conroy, John Wesley Shipp were the two top two.
And John Wesley Shipp is Alfred,
played the Flash on the 90s TV series.
Okay,
so when we were kids, he was, you know, the Flash. And then, so now we're at my last day of work when I was working at Taste Valley High School. I let my daughter the night before pick out my shirt. Okay. I was like, Sayla, what should daddy wear? It's Friday. You know, it's casual Friday. I can wear what I want. And she picks out this Batman shirt that I have. And it's the bat symbol, but it's broken into four parts, with each part being kind of part of a villain. And I was like, you want me to wear my Batman shirt? She's like, yeah. And I'm like, okay. I don't often wear comic book shirts to work, just because usually on Fridays I'd wear like the Taze Valley shirt for the high school and everything. So I'm sitting there, and the teacher that I'm partnered with, we're working together. He's like, why don't you run out and get food for everybody for lunch? We'll do Wendy's. I'm like, sure. As I'm leaving, my phone dings and it says Kevin Conroy passes. Mm. And I'm like, what? And like, it hit me, like, I had never met the guy.
Yeah.
But because I had seen so many interviews, one of the first podcasts I listened to was Fat Man on Batman, Kevin Smith's Fat Man on Batman, back when it was a good podcast. And he interviewed Kevin Conroy. And, you know, I messaged you, I messaged Devin, and I messaged my buddy Brian, I messaged Janine, and I was like, Batman died.
Yeah.
And I'm like, and so then I immediately recorded on my phone and sitting in the drive-through at Wendy's, and I was just thinking, like, like you said, celebrity guests usually don't hit me. Every now and then there'll be one.
Yeah.
Just if you have some sort of connection to it. I'm like, it's crazy because Batman Animated Series was a show that my dad would watch with us.
It revolutionized. You know, I mean, and this isn't hyperbole. It revolutionized animated TV, but also like the superhero genre on television.
Yeah, it did. I mean, it's the reason why we still talk about it today. It's the reason why now we can still watch it and we don't feel it's timeless.
Mm-hmm.
There's a timeless, you know, and my dad took us to see Mask of the Phantasm in theaters.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I didn't realize at the time that not many people saw it in theaters, but we were one of those families that saw it because my dad genuinely liked the show with us. So I had that connection to the character. And now I watch Batman Animated Series and,
yep,
of course, all the other things that Kevin has voiced Batman in with my children.
Mm-hmm.
So it's generational. You know, he's touched three generations of this family.
Let's go back to 1992, because I think that would help, like, explain maybe some of its success. They voiced Kevin Conroy. He really hasn't done much. I'm looking here at his Wikipedia. He's done some theater.
He was a big theater guy.
But not really anything into voice acting. But they did have someone huge in the animated series with voice acting. Mark Hamill, the Luke Skywalker, was voicing the Joker in the animated series. And he was the definitive voice of the Joker. And at this time, Batman has had this resurgence because in obviously 89, we had Michael Keaton Batman with Tim Burton, which really, I mean, propelled Batman to the zeitgeist again. You had the 60s Adam West TV show, campy, ha ha ha. But all of a sudden, boom, you get this dark, gritty Gotham, this dark, gritty Batman. People are dying, the Joker. And it's just this thing. And that's all that they had. There were comics, not a ton. But this was able to capture what they tapped into with the Tim Burton Batman 89 and have just so much freedom because it is animation. And the way that they kind of stayed on that serious level, how they, we've talked about this ad nauseum, Ty, the dichotomy between Bruce Wayne and Batman and how the actor plays two different roles, how Kevin Conroy, even through his voice, was able to portray this soft, gentle, benevolent Bruce Wayne with this dark, gritty, tough Batman. It was scored beautifully. They still use Elfman's theme, but they build up on it. And they were able to dive into this rogue gallery of villains and create new ones that people don't even know were created during this animated show.
We got Harley Quinn. We have the
people don't know that. People don't know Harley Quinn.
Contextualization.
Keep going. Sorry, interrupted.
Mr. Freeze, is all I'm going to say.
Yes, no.
No, we're excited.
I know. Like these characters that we just assumed have always been a part of Batman lore, they haven't. They have not. They were created and they were such a phenomenon and it was so well done that they've just been inserted into this Batman narrative that they started on the animated series. And I loved it. You loved it. We weren't the only ones. This was critically acclaimed, one of the greatest animated shows of all time.
Yes. I mean, it's one of those shows that I swear that there was an episode at some point that aired in primetime, like as a tease or something. I'd have to dig it back up, but it was just a good show, period.
It's on HBO Go right now. You can go stream it. Yeah. You can go watch it.
I own it. I'll probably eventually buy the Blu-ray set. Though I have this kind of debate with my friends because I feel like the high definition kind of it loses some of its charm.
Yeah.
That's a whole nother conversation.
It does look like it was animated in 1992. It has this like pencil-y, charcoal-y, like
part of it is
computerly generated. It's beautiful. It's almost like this dark Looney Tunes style.
The original Batman animated series was animated on black paper
and
it was animated for TV and that gave it a darker look. But when you try to take that dark and you try to HD it, you know, and bring the higher resolution in that process, sometimes it starts to actually make things not look as good. I think in some animation, and I kind of debate with the Batman animation here, but you know,
let me just read this. Talking about the credentials here really quick. IGN.com listed this series as the best adaptation of Batman anywhere outside of the comics, the best comic book television show of all time, the second best animated show of all time behind The Simpsons. Wizard Magazine ranked it number 2 as well behind The Simpsons of all time. And TV Guide ranked it as the 7th greatest cartoon of all time. It had 4 Emmy Awards, including Outstanding Animated Program. This show is no joke, and his passing is a big deal.
It is. If you look at his body of work, he's never stopped playing the character. He's played the character more than anyone. It was a kind of a gift to us recently. The last thing that he had voiced Batman for was the Justice or the Warner Brothers Multiverses video game, the Warner Brothers basically version of Super Smash Brothers that you can get. And that was like the last thing he's credited as. And I'm like, what a horrible thing to kind of be the last, you know, note. But we just found out that he did record and he will be the voice of Batman in the upcoming Justice League or the Suicide Squad Kills the Justice League or video game that's coming out. That'll be his, I guess, swan song of Batman. So we do have one more Kevin performance.
And like you said, he continued to be Batman, even in the acclaimed Batman Arkham video game series. That's his voice, right?
Yep. The Arkham video games, the Injustice video games, the Justice League action cartoon that was on a couple years ago.
Yeah.
Scooby-Doo, the new Scooby-Doo and Guess Who, which me and the kids we did a podcast episode on that. He was the voice of Batman. And you know, he did a lot of the direct-to-video films as well. So he was continuing the character. He was appearing as the character still. And we are blessed that there's a lot of good podcasts and interviews and stuff with him online that you can go and see him talk about the character and his experience with playing the character. And, you know, I didn't know this. I didn't know he was gay. I didn't learn that until over the past year or two, I think.
How did he pass? I'm not sure.
They haven't said. They never really officially said. I know he was sick. That was it.
Gotcha.
But he wrote a comic book issue about him and how he got the part for Batman that I just recently read about his struggles as during the AIDS epidemic and everything, and just how, in a sense, Batman saved his life. And he had never done voiceover work, but his agent thought he would do great for this part with his vocal talents.
Yeah. And I mean, he did an incredible job. He voiced Batman for 3 decades. And really, I think because Batman has been on screen for so much, he's been on film for so much, I think everyone has a really different voice of Batman in their head. I'm going to be honest. He's more of a Batman voice in my head than Michael Keaton. Oh, he's more of a Batman voice in my head than Ben Affleck. He's more of a Batman voice.
The only time
voice.
I hear.
No,
I think there's a little bit of a delay, but go ahead. Finish.
He's more of a Batman voice in my head than Robert Pattinson. I mean, he's has this huge chunk of Batman real estate in my mind that he is the voice of Batman.
Yeah. The only time I hear Keaton is when I read the recent Batman 89 comic that they did. That was kind of like an unofficial Batman 3. That I heard Keaton because that's the world you're in. The only time I ever hear a more Affleck styled Batman voice is if I read like Batman Noel or any the Librehimo Batman stuff. Just it feels more like
I get a Batman voice in The Dark Knight Returns, to be honest.
Yeah, I can see that.
A big gruff, like. But even Conroy did a big gruff Batman. He did Batman Beyond, and it was great.
He did, and then let's not forget that in 2019, he did play Bruce Wayne in live action.
That's right.
On the episode of Batwoman. For the Crisis on Infinite Earths crossover, where he played kind of a Kingdom Come, Dark Knight Returns style Bruce Wayne.
Yeah.
So he got to take the mantle in live action as well.
You know, I think DC has a problem, Ty. And I want to walk you through kind of like my experience with DC. I was a staunch DC's better than Marvel guy for the longest time. I held out as long as I could, man. But what Marvel's been able to do over the last 10, 15 years, no one's ever seen it on film. How they've been able to tie things together at the scale and magnitude that they've been able to do. And I think DC has gotten caught up in that. And for those of you who don't know, DC has hired James Gunn to be the Kevin Feige, which is like the brain trust of all future DC projects, which meant that everything that they had developed and started from Aquaman to Batman versus Superman to Wonder Woman to whatever's happening with the Flash. We'll talk about all that, Ty, but they're trying to do a clean slate. It seems like they're wanting to go the Marvel Cinematic Universe route and have films built up to one large event that's released in phases. I'm not sure. Is that an accurate description of where DC is at? Because I no longer argue that DC is better than Marvel. Just because of what I've been able to experience in the movie theater and how they've been able to execute their plan.
Well, I'm going to take you back here. That's a close enough accurate statement, because one thing I'll say right now, I started following James Gunn on Twitter, like as far as like getting his notifications.
Yeah.
If he doesn't tweet it out, it's not DC news. That's how I feel.
Because he's at that level of like ownership of DC right now. He's got the keys. And if
anytime somebody sends something out and they're trying to start a rumor, if you watch his Twitter, he'll stop it quick. Like, no, that's not what's happening. Nope, that's not happening. So as far as any rumors and stuff now, I don't subscribe to anything if it's not coming from him.
Okay.
Now let's go back to 2008.
Yes.
We had The Dark Knight. Okay.
It was Dark Knight and Iron Man, and
even go back. Let's go back 2005.
Do it, Batman Begins.
The comic book, okay. The comic book landscape is hit and miss. We might get one or two films a year.
Spider-Man's, whatever.
Spider-Man and X-Men were probably the two biggest. 2005, Batman Begins came out. It's a good film. It's not a massive runaway hit, but it's a really good movie. And then there's a lot of interest build for the sequel. So the sequel comes out in 2008, and we won't go into all that, what it created, but you know, we were just Warner Brothers was always a creator driven studio.
Mm-hmm.
Now you have to think Warner Brothers is a studio. Okay.
Right.
And what happens is Marvel as a company creates their own studio,
mm-hmm.
and they're putting all their money into Iron Man, their first film, and they have to make deals with other studios for distribution. Well, Iron Man's a good success. And then the Hulk right after it. And that's the first tease of a connected universe.
Yeah.
Then we take a year off. We get Iron Man 2. And then we're going to get Captain America and Thor. But during that time is when Disney buys all of Marvel.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why Avengers was the last film, first film distributed by Disney, but last film under the old, more indie company.
Good bet by Disney. It's a good purchase.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
the mouse always wins, man.
So during this time, Warner Brothers is doing their thing. You know, 2011, Dark Knight Rises, the completion of the Nolan trilogy. He's like, these are my films.
I don't think we can discredit the impact the Aurora shooting had on DC stuff. Like, I think that was like a major, like, incident.
You know,
that I think
I agree
created pause.
I will say that I'm glad that Janine and I saw the film at midnight and we were able to go enjoy the film.
Yep.
And then we didn't find out about the tragedy till the next day. So our viewing of the film was not impacted by that.
Actually, I think I saw it on Twitter. I don't know. I think I knew that night.
Maybe.
I think. Maybe. I don't know. But anyway, so yeah, that happens. Event like Marvel's starting to gain steam because there's interconnectivity. There's Nick Fury. There's all these really cool things happening.
In 2006, we had Superman Returns, and that was a fizzle type film because we won't even go to the history that it took to get that movie. And because that's a whole nother thing, but that movie did not do it. We'll just say it did not do what they wanted it to do.
Mm-hmm.
So let's get to 2011 when they released Green Lantern. Now Green Lantern, if you look at it is very similar to Iron Man.
Mm-hmm.
And they wanted to use Green Lantern as the start of their cinematic universe. Well, there originally was a scene that was supposed to feature Superman in it, but it was going to be Henry Cavill because at that time they were filming Man of Steel, but they said, no, we want this. They were still in this mindset of like the same way they did the Nolan films. We're going to do these films over here. It's just this story. We're not going to go for this whole connective thing. So Man of Steel was never meant to launch a universe. You can watch that movie and there's nothing in it that builds a universe. Now, yes, there is the Wayne thing that's in it, but that's a digital post-production thing. It's not a story beat in the film itself. So then we get to 2016 and they're like, we're going to ramp this up. And they go in with, they hire Zack Snyder and all this. He did Man of Steel and he's like, I got a 5-movie plan. He's like, I got a 5-movie plan. And they're like, okay. And what happens is you have a studio that hires directors to be creative and do their thing, but then the studio heads change it.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's why you get this muddled of what happened to Justice League, what happened to Suicide Squad. Now, the other thing to note, and this is where the business side really comes into play, is in 2016 into 2017, Warner Brothers, the studio, is being purchased by AT&T.
Interesting.
So when they go into, there was things when they were doing Justice League and all the reshoots and all that, things were changing. There was mandates about that movie had to come out. It had to follow, be this time. They couldn't postpone it or anything. So that movie comes out in 2017. And then in 2018, technically the new owners take over. And all this is important because you have a changing of ownership of this company. So you have one boss who does these films, but then new bosses come in and say, we're going to change it up. So then you start to get these new movies.
Like if you follow Aquaman. Sports, it's like a coach wanting another quarterback, even though they've had a quarterback there, or vice versa.
Right. It's like a new team manager taking over and changing the team. And though this is happening in Warner Brothers now, Warner Brothers as a studio, DC is a property they own. Now, yes. Marvel is its own studio.
Right. So they can make their own decisions. Marvel, they can call their own shots.
They can make, right. Everything on the DC side is through the Warner Brothers. So they're not focusing just on building this DC universe. So what happens is you have this group come in, they start trying to do their thing. It's working. They get Walter Hamada to kind of start to lead and spearhead the DC section, but it's still not like a DC studio.
Yeah.
It's a DC films thing. So TV's doing their thing. We have a CW, we have stuff now coming.
A lot of properties on TV.
Right. And so, but nothing's really connected. And so then you get these films that are coming out like Aquaman, Shazam, let's see, Wonder Woman, Birds of Prey, I think are them.
Black Adam.
And, well, hold on.
Okay. All right.
Black Adam starts towards the end, but see what happens is Warner Brothers Studios is then sold again to Discovery. So then Discovery now takes ownership of and wants to start trimming the fat. And they have stuff in process. You can't just. You have movies and Black Adam was one of those movies because, COVID changed everything and pushed things back. Yeah. That was in process. And so Black Adam we recently had. So what happens is these two people, and I cannot remember their name off the top of my head. They're kind of like Walter Hamada gets let go by the new owners, David Zaslav. So Hamada's gone, who's been spearheading certain projects. Okay. Two people get put in the interim. like, you're in charge of DC, all this until we find who we want to build this new DC studio. So I, David Zaslav, am going to create a DC studio just like what Marvel has.
Yes.
So these two people are continuing with Aquaman 2, The Flash, Blue Beetle, Batgirl,
Wonder Woman 3.
Like Wonder Woman 3 that was supposed to be coming, and right. Black Adam. Well, you know, whatever you want to say, there were shakeups and changeups because of studios or all the special effects houses being backed up. So things were getting pushed out so they could be completed.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's understandable when you look at how many films are coming out. Now, we get Black Adam. That's the newest film, okay, that comes out. These two interim people decided our plan is we're going to bring Henry back. They decided to bring Henry back. We're going to set this up. This is our plan. You know, like, we're in charge till we're not in charge. So we're going to keep rolling out. And then what happens?
Spoiler alert. If you haven't seen Black Adam.
Come on. And then, you know, James Gunn is hired and appointed as the head. He's now the owner. Basically, he's the owner. Think of it like, you want to talk sports. He's now the team owner. He can do whatever he wants. So he's now appointed. It's like, okay, you're in charge. And he has the sit back and think, okay, do I try to fix what they keep trying to band-aid and twist? Because, you know, you can see certain films that feel really connected, some that kind of don't, certain things that do. I subscribe to the crisis, post-crisis theory. That's a whole other conversation. You can check out my podcast for that conversation.
Krypton Report. Check it out. If you like DC and want to know what's going on.
So, you know, Gunn comes in and he's like, I have hard decisions to make for the future. You know, we have multiple films coming out. It's like, do I completely clean slate it? Do I try to keep tweaking it? And
so James Gunn is the new owner. Help me out here. There's a lot of big, you know, names that we don't know what's going on. He's made hard decisions. They've already said Wonder Woman, Gal Gadot is done. No more Gal Gadot Wonder Woman.
No, hold on.
Oh, I was going to go down the gauntlet and get your yes and no. So there is hope that Gal Gadot is still Wonder Woman.
They said Patty Jenkins' Wonder Woman 3 is canceled because she turned in a script and that was not what they wanted. Okay.
Interesting.
You have to, any of these times they talk, you have to watch the words
are used. Henry Cavill, he's done.
He's done. That's the big
Superman
one that we know
that they
is
just
done.
Teased at the end of Black Adam. It's not going to be the Superman in this new DC universe.
And it's officially called DC Universe. Like, it's DCU. It's official. The DC Films Company is DCU.
Okay. Okay. So Superman out. Black Adam, The Rock, is he out?
On pause, as far as we know.
On pause.
The big thing is James Gunn said all the big announcements will come sometime in January.
Ooh.
So everything's pretty much in speculation. What we do know.
Well, hold on. I have more questions. Shazam. All right. I don't know if Shazam 2 is out yet. Is that pointless? Okay. So
my thing is, I don't consider anything pointless because there's still exciting movies to see.
That's
because
true.
If you say that it's pointless, you're only watching the films for the building of the universe.
See, yeah. And that's what Marvel's films. Done to me. I'm sorry. And Star Wars has done to me. I'm sorry. It's an epidemic. Shazam, is that, well, you, okay. Aquaman, they're saying. Making a new Aquaman. Is that like what is going to happen? Batman, they just had the biggest movie in 2022, most streamed.
Now,
what is going on here?
That's what I was going to say. James Gunn's already said that Matt Reeves has his own pocket and is doing his thing. His Batman is his Batman. It's off to the side.
Interesting.
So that's being left alone. And then, of course, there's the outlier film of Joker 2. That's being left alone.
Oh, I forgot about Joker and Joker 2. And the new Penguin show is going to be on HBO.
But the Penguin ties back into the Batman. So
they're
letting Matt Reeves do his own thing. Okay. It's what happens after, you know. So as far as who's in, who's out, what, because You know, James Gunn directed The Suicide Squad, the soft reboot of Suicide Squad, and then he directed the Peacemaker show.
That's
and
right.
Some of the characters from Peacemaker ended up in Black Adam. So, you know, there's continuity there. So it's like, well, is everything scrapped? We don't know. We just know that Henry is not the Superman that they want to move forward with, because they want to do a younger Superman and rebuild that character.
Okay, so if you are in charge, how do you fix this, Ty? You've mentioned this like crisis of it. I don't know what that means, but there is a way to fix this. Is it an easy way? It seems like that would be yes.
The thing is, there's not really an easy way.
Oh,
because you can a lot of fans theorize that the Flash movie.
Oh, I forgot about the Flash. What a wreck. Ezra Miller he's still the Flash. How have they not like scrapped that whole project?
Because you didn't, you know, throw away $200 million plus, you know,
unbelievable.
You gotta find a way. Like, and I mean, there's a lot of other things that go into these films. You think about, there's already pictures coming online about merchandise for the film. So you already have other companies that have, you know, put their money and their time.
Is Ben Affleck Batman in the Flash movie?
Yeah.
So that's going to confuse people.
Well, the Flash movie was Ben Affleck's swan song. It was supposed to be his end, because at one point they were supposed to do something where Michael Keaton was going to kind of be this overlord Batman, and they're going to change up the universe, because Michael Keaton's also in the Flash, because the Flash travels to a different Earth, and that's the Batman of the Earth that he interacts with. And there's a lot of things that are kind of, like I said, a lot of rumors about, because there was supposed to be a Gal Gadot Wonder Woman cameo in Shazam. We don't know if it's still there. There was supposed to be a Ben Affleck cameo in Aquaman. We don't know if it's still there. And that's why I say, like, right now I'm at a point, I've made peace with things, but I'm just like, whatever James Gunn says, that's what's happening. I'm not speculating. I'm not going down all these rabbit holes, because that's all that DC's been. Is rabbit holes. And Warner Brothers has never got somebody on their DC side to stop crap online. There's, you know, they've never controlled the narrative. They've never been on the media side. They've always just let whatever happen. And James Gunn has been very active on Twitter saying, you know, this is what's going on. We haven't released any of our, what we want to do. Does it bum me out about Henry? Yes, it does.
Yeah,
it does. Because he's waited to play the character again and do all this, and he didn't get a chance for a second film. But at the same time, there's just this pocket of stuff that has a lot of baggage. A lot of fans love these actors and these characters, but there's also a lot of baggage you have to deal with.
Yeah.
And being able to clean slate it.
It seems like... It seems like the best way to watch any DC title is just to go in and accept it for what it is and not expect it to be anything more than what it is.
Yeah.
So it's possible to, because you don't do that with Star Wars. Star Wars, you go in looking for every Easter egg. How does it connect to whatever story, whatever, blah, 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 blah. Marvel, you definitely don't do that. You want to see how they're all connected. It's been the whole thing with Phase 4. Nothing connects. Like, what are they building up to? You know, it seems like they're trying to train us to watch these franchises this way. It seems like for the DCU, the best way is just to accept each character as its own thing. So you mentioned the Joker. I forgot about the Joker, which is its whole other thing. People are go ahead.
That's its own movie.
Everything is thing with DC. And you know what? If that's what makes it unique, then just tell us that. Then don't try to be something you're not. Don't try to bring in James Gunn and try to, don't do that. Just be your own thing and be a little whatever.
I mean, they wanted to build their own studio to have more control over all their property because they own all their characters. And it's like you hire someone to do a job, you invest and tell them they have the power, and then this is the choices they make. And
that's wanting to start my own like AI, like electric car company, but I'm going up against Tesla. Like, I feel like they're so far behind.
And, you know, they'll maybe find a way to do their own thing and find their niche in it. And we'll kind of see. I mean, it'd be like if I bought a team, okay? And then I bought a team and I said, all right, Chase, your coach. Man, do the team, manage it how you want. And then I let you do your thing. Or I could be like, Chase, do your thing. And then I'm like, hey, Chase, yeah, let's not have them do that. I want this. And you're like, but you hired me to do this job. Yeah, but I really like that one player, man. Don't outrun him. Don't wear him down. Let him just chill. Let him do his thing. I don't care if he doesn't, you know, work well with the rest of the team. And you're like, no, I'm trying to build something here. Okay. I'm trying to build a unit. My beef with the Joker, the Joaquin Phoenix Joker film, has always been that you take out a few words and it's not the Joker. You know, it is a really dark drama about mental health that they just use the term Joker and a few character names to gain notoriety. Yeah, I mean, you take away Thomas Wayne, Gotham City, Arkham, they're just names, and you can put anything in there. The story still does the same. There's nothing in it that says this is the Joker. So that's always been my thing. It's like they use the Joker just to build their brand. So the whole idea of Joker 2, I'm like, it's its own thing. I don't want it to connect because they're just basically using these character names to tell their story. Yeah. The Batman, I am okay with their – I personally like the idea of there being two cinematic Batmans. I like the idea of having a more gritty, realistic adult Batman and then having a Batman that interacts with the other characters like Superman and Green Lantern and Wonder Woman and the rest of the DC universe. It feels better that way.
We need a third live-action Batman to do a live-action Scooby-Doo. Is kind of where this is headed, Ty. Like, at some point, I don't know, man. I would just put you in charge of everything and just trust with what you're doing. So if do you feel good about the future of DCU? If you do, I do, is where I'm at.
I do, because I you know, here's my thing. I feel like there's been so many pockets of DC. You know, it's like everybody was trying to grab a pot. And we started having all these multiple versions of characters where they were diluting properties. You know, you have Titans in its fourth season, which really pulls from a lot of Batman lore. You had Batwoman that was recently canceled. And it's like, it's
Michael
time,
Keaton. Was Michael Keaton in that Batwoman too?
No.
Who was going to have a spot in that? Because I heard there was a...
Well, Michael Keaton was in Batgirl that got canceled.
Okay.
You know, Batgirl was the film that was originally developed for HBO Max.
And it was done, right?
It's going to be a Max. And it was done. It was in post-production. And because the new owners of Warner Brothers are trying to save money any way they can, because there was a huge AT&T racked up a huge debt. And then they dumped it on Warner. Warner's off. So AT&T acquired them. Strapped them with their debt and then sold them off. So the new owners are trying to find ways to get out of this debt to get more profitable. And one thing I think you're going to see is, you know, the old regime was trying to put everything into HBO Max. They were putting all their DC properties on HBO Max. And it seems that what they're going to do is you're going to start seeing different properties being sold to other streamers to try to, you know, build their money back. So they're condensing. That's why part of me feels like that after season 4, Titans and Doom Patrol will both be canceled because they're consolidating their characters. Part of me also feels, and I hate saying this, I worry about after season 3 of Superman and Lois. That is a really great show. It's been a really great show to watch, but it's like the last show really on the CW. The Flash on the CW ends this year. And we're not even going to talk about that horrible wannabe Batman show that they're going to put on the CW called Gotham Knights that just looks like garbage.
Oh, wow.
I've been a huge, like anything DC, I've always said I'll watch the pilot and I'll try to support it. Gotham Knights is the first show where I'm like, that's just trash.
Oh my God.
I'm not watching it.
Oh my goodness. Well, you know who's not trash? You. Dude, you are a delight and a joy, and I love talking Batman and DC. Your knowledge of all of that blows me away. And I am super proud that the Krypton Report is on Press Play. You guys are the best.
Yes.
My go-to source for all DC information. Tell us about it, Ty.
Well, I mean, we start Krypton Report as just basically a Superman podcast, but then we cover all things DC. So, you know, what Chase and I talked about today kind of just hit the tip of the iceberg for a lot of the things we cover. But we don't just talk, you know, business. We review movies, TV shows, comics. But we always like to talk about the news, too, because we're passionate about these characters. And we try to stay up on what's going on. And I think because of that, the Krypton Report crew, we are excited about the James Gunn thing just because maybe we'll have more of a soft reboot in many areas where these characters have been stretched, and we'll kind of have a positive feel. And, you know me, I'm always about trying to be positive and hopeful. I mean, I don't own these characters. I'm just a fan. You don't own the characters. Yes. So we can't control what happens with them. So, or who plays what role. I mean, I can complain about it or I can just roll with the punches.
Yes. Well, I appreciate you rolling with the punches here tonight, man. I appreciate you rolling with the punches here tonight. And that does it for this episode of the Chase Smith Podcast. Thank you all so much for downloading and listening. Shouts to our sponsors, Water Heaters Now. If you have a problem with your water heater and you are in Central Ohio, check out waterheatersnow.com. They are the best. You will not be disappointed. Shouts to the Press Play Podcast Network for making this possible. Follow us online at Press Play Pods. You can visit our website at pressplaypodcast.com to keep up with all of our shows and network news and sponsorship information. If you enjoyed today's episode, please leave a review. Adding a 5-star rating would be awesome as well. It doesn't really do anything for the show. It helps with visibility. Like, people can see it and they say, oh, I want to listen to it more, but that's about it. I really appreciate it. And Ty, really appreciate you, man. JTP, thanks for coming on the show. Appreciate it.
Hey, anytime, Chase.